You know, there are all kinds of costumes for Halloween. You know, some people are funny clowns. I'm not talking about evil clowns. Evil clowns, that's a whole different category. You know, it's really cool. Somebody on West End Boulevard, coming from the interstate to the lakefront, some house on West End Boulevard has, at their drain, they have a red balloon at the drain and then some kind of caution tape. And it's just like the movie It. It's really, really creative. So, you know, Halloween does kind of have an evil tone to it. It's about being scared. And it goes back to, you know, scaring the spirits, based on a pagan belief. But Halloween does have, you know, there are fun, innocent costumes, but there are also evil costumes. And years ago, and I'm so glad that this has subsided, but years ago there was a lot of talk about Halloween being a satanic holiday. That celebrating Halloween is a way of introducing kids into the occult. I'm sure there's some people who believe that. I mean, if you believe that, and if you want to share your thoughts with us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. You know, Halloween was always just an innocent holiday for kids. And yet, there were adults who turned it into this really evil holiday. Kids would have never thought about Satan. Even though there were, like, maybe devil costumes out there, kids weren't thinking about worshiping Satan. And I remember when I was a kid, Halloween was just a fun, innocent time, and you couldn't wait to get home from school, and you had your costume ready to go, and you went out trick-or-treating in your neighborhood. Some of you can trick-or-treat in your neighborhoods. Some of you can't because there are a lot of people that don't participate. You know, people are isolated. People are skeptical. People are afraid. And not every neighborhood really participates. I don't think there's anything wrong with kids going to a neighborhood that is very active in terms of trick-or-treating. And I think it's sad that all kids can't just go out in their neighborhood. But that's the way it used to be. But I just remember Halloween being just a fun, innocent time. And it wasn't until adults came along and they were looking for reasons to think that the devil was everywhere. And based on your religious beliefs, you can believe the devil's everywhere. But the devil is not lurking in Halloween trick-or-treating. The devil's not lurking in Halloween costumes, trying to lure children into worshiping him. I don't believe that. And, you know, there was a lot of talk, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I guess 20 years ago, there was a lot of talk, and it lasted for a while, about Halloween being an evil holiday and in a way of introducing kids to Satan. And I just don't believe that. A lot of schools changed Halloween parties to the fall harvest party or something like that. They wanted to remove Halloween from schools. And, you know, there's always been a bigger threat to Halloween than there was to Christmas. So I guess there was a war on Halloween for a while. But I'm glad we collectively as a nation seem to have gotten over that. You know, if you haven't, if you want to share your opinions with us, if you're concerned about Halloween, you can certainly call the show. But I don't hear the talk that I used to hear. There were people on Fox, there were people in the media who were talking about this. The news people would interview people who were bringing up this whole issue of, you know, the children's young innocent minds are being lured into the occult. I mean, that's ridiculous. Halloween is just a fun time to go trick or treating. Now, I don't know if we want to get into this later. We probably shouldn't. But, you know, I remember hearing gags that people would pull, pranks that people would pull during Halloween. When I got to be a teenager, you know, I wasn't old enough to drive or really, you know, do anything really fun. So, you know, around the neighborhood, kids did pranks. You know, like they would, I didn't do it, but some kids would fill a brown bag, full of, like, dog poo. Because, see, the dogs pooed in public. I mean, the dogs pooed all over the place. Now everybody picks it up. But, I mean, you could go to somebody's yard, and you could go to anybody's front yard and find dog poo. sometimes you'd step on it and walk in the house. And, oh, my God. No, it was really awful. But anyway, you could find dog poo. So they would put dog poo in a bag, and they would light the bag on fire and then ring the doorbell. And so then the owner of the house would come out, see the bag on fire, and try to stomp out the fire with his foot, stomping on all the poo. I'm not suggesting that anybody do that, but, you know, that was one of the pranks that you know, I remember some kids doing. I think the only thing that I did was I rang a couple of doorbells and ran. So, yeah, if you were in my neighborhood, I might have rung the doorbell with a couple of kids. We rang the doorbell and ran, and then we walked by and somebody said, anybody here? Anybody here? But that's the worst that I did. But, you know, once in a while you'd hear about a prank that was really kind of inappropriate. All right, it is Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. I know that Bourbon Street and Frenchman are going to be packed tonight with people out celebrating Halloween. And, you know, we're talking about politics, too, because, you know, this is a really, you know, it's a scary time. Politics are as scary as Halloween. So we're talking about that as well. Let me briefly give you a review of the Singing Trump last night at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. I was there. This was a fundraiser for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. A lot of fun people there. I really enjoyed conversations like, you know, some people said, listen every day, love the show. And then I'll get a comment from a guy, and he was so sincere. And he said, Scoot, man, I love your show. You go way back. I don't always agree with you, but keep doing what you're doing. And don't anybody worry. I'm going to continue doing what I do. Nobody's going to scare us off. We're going to continue to do this. And, you know, it's just about opinions. And I appreciate the fact that people who don't always agree with me still enjoy the show. My goal is to make this entertaining above everything else. And I have my opinions and you have your opinions, but the overall presentation and energy of the show is about just being entertaining. So the Singing Trump, it's a guy who is a great impersonator. In fact, when I think about Rich Little and Frank Gorshin, and I think about some of the great impressionists of the past, I don't remember seeing an impressionist who is better than this guy. And the show was well put together, really tight. And I mean, this guy went from one impression to the next. And there was either video or a picture behind him on the stage. And the Jefferson Performing Arts Center is just an incredible venue. It's a great place to see anything. So the guy was also an unbelievable singer, a really, really talented singer. And so he's dressed like Trump, comes out like a dark suit, red tie, hair, makeup. He looks like Trump. And he sounds like Trump. And he stayed in character the whole time. I mean, he was Trump. If he was not doing an impression, he was Donald Trump. And, you know, this was not about anything other than making America laugh again. And I know there were Trump supporters there who were just having fun. And I appreciate that they just, you know, came out to have a good time because that's what they were there for. Jefferson Parish Council member Jennifer Van Franken, man, you should have seen the skin-tight Trump dress she was wearing. I might have to post that on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Yeah, she did a little talk before he came out, and then she introduced Billy Nungesser. But it was a really entertaining show. As I said at the beginning of our show, when he first started, I thought, I don't know. I mean, is this going to be entertaining for an hour and a half? I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical here. And I'll tell you, you know, a few minutes after that, you know, it continued, and the guy was funny, said funny stuff. He said, my name, he opened up by saying, my name is Donald J. Trump. The J stands for genius. And he said, look, we're going to build a wall. Mexico's going to pay for it. We're going to build a wall. Or maybe we'll build a fence. Or maybe a step stool. And China built a great wall. And there are no Mexicans in China. So we're going to build a great wall and keep the Mexicans out. At one point, one of the people he was impersonating said, hey, Trump, lay off the tanning bed or you might get so dark you have to deport yourself. So there was some funny stuff in there. There was one serious moment that I was not expecting. Donald Trump, in character, Donald Trump was talking about his dad. And after that, they went into the song The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics. Coleman, you want to cue that up if you could? Mike and the Mechanics, The Living Years. And kind of cue it up to In the Living Years. You've got time to do that. He talked about his, you know, as Trump, he talked about his dad. And, you know, I don't know that much about his dad, except that his dad gave him money. But he talked about his dad saying, dream big, talking about dreaming big. And he said that that really stuck with him all his life. And he sort of lamented, you know, again, he's speaking as Donald Trump. He lamented that his dad never saw him reach his biggest success. His dad never saw him become president. And I could so relate to that because I remember when my dad was sick, my dad had never seen me work. And man, when I first started in the business, my dad thought, oh, all this scoot stuff, that, you know, that's ridiculous. Son, you sound stupid on the air. And as I got popular, started to get popular, my dad, you know, he bought into it. He was really, really proud of me. And I'd call up and he'd go, hey, Scoot, how's it going? So my dad totally understood that. But my dad had never seen me work. And I tell you this story because if you have somebody in your life that you want to do something with, do it. And don't wait. And do it as often as you can, because I have this regret. My dad was sick, so I was on the air in Portland. No, I was on the air in Denver. It was Denver. And my dad was very sick. And the plan was I was going to go do the show at one of our stations in Dallas so my dad could come actually watch me do the show. Well, my dad was so sick when I was there that he couldn't come to the studio to watch me do the show. So my sister and brother-in-law came instead. 2 weeks after that, my dad passed away. So if there's something that you want to do, do it. And I could so relate to Donald Trump saying that his dad didn't see him reach his biggest dreams. And, you know, while my dad knew I was a success as Scoot, you know, my dad hasn't experienced, you know, a lot of my success. And it's sad. If my dad were alive today, he would be totally disagreeing with my politics. He would think I was insane. He would wonder if he's really my father. He was very, very political and very animated. Do you have that song, In the Living Years? And so as character, Donald Trump talking about his dad, this was a serious moment of the show last night. He went in and sang this song, The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics. I don't know how long it's going to take to get to the lyrics, but we'll see if this works out. In fact, Coleman, let's just go to break with the song. Remember when this video first came out on MTV, and, you know, I watched a lot of MTV back in that day, and my son saw this quite often, and there were times in this video that scared him a little bit. It was a brilliant video. It was one of those videos that was, it was like a story. It was almost like a mini movie unto itself. Great Halloween music. It's Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser has called in to join us. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to the show. Last night was a lot of fun.
Thank you, my friend. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I just heard the story about your father and brought a tear to my eye and wanted to share with you. The singing Trump had a similar story about visiting his mom. But as a kid, he used to imitate people to make her laugh because she was always depressed. And then he went into acting and got on the soap opera because she only watched soap operas all day and got to see him on the soap operas. And then later he got to visit with her before she passed. But great, great night and a very entertaining guy. And it was a lot of fun. Thanks for being there. And I am going to buy perfume.
All right. Listen, buy perfume for my girlfriend, you know, your wife, who, you know, she looks great last night. Listen, Billy, last night was a lot of fun. I was really impressed with the talent, as you just heard me talking about it. Very funny. You say you're going to bring him back for Mardi Gras?
Yeah, we invite him back for Mardi Gras. He does a lot of different stuff besides imitating Trump, as you saw last night. He's got a whole nother show. So absolutely. I met a friend for life. He's a great guy and just got so many great stories. He had me laughing at dinner the night before all night, and he just loves entertaining and making people laugh. And God knows we need a little more of that.
Boy, we do. Hey, what about Jennifer Van Franken's address last night? Was that a little tight? Trump was really kind of wrapped around her derriere.
Yeah, she said she ordered that from China. Go figure. But I think she bought a side. Yeah, it was. She was looking pretty good. She's got the figure for it.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a tight Trump dress. I might even post a picture of it on my Facebook page. But Lieutenant Governor, I hope it was a good fundraiser for you. A lot of great people there, and I was really impressed. And you heard me just talking about it. I thought the guy was really, really awesome, and it was fun to get together and laugh. And I'm so glad that a lot of Trump supporters were there, just having fun with this guy who was having fun with the Trump character, because Trump is a character.
And, you know, we had a lot of Democrats there that were there to laugh and have a good time as well. And that's what it's all about, us coming together and make Louisiana laugh again.
All right, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, thanks and good luck in the election. I know how it's going to turn out for you, but anyway, good luck.
Happy Halloween, my friend.
Same to you. All right, let's go to, we'll go to Slidell and Kevin. You're on WWL. Hey, Kevin, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
I'm a first-time caller. Listen.
First-time caller? Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Hang on. You can't just get away with calling in as a first-time caller. This is a moment to remember. It's a moment to recognize. All right. All these years, and you finally call in. All right, glad you called in.
Yes, sir.
What has you calling in today?
Okay, listen. I'm clearly not understanding how the Trump supporters, or whatever you want to call it, their calculation and their slogan, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? To the best of my knowledge, were not we in a global pandemic, in the height of a pandemic where millions had died around the world?
Yeah.
I'm not understanding. How are you better off when every graveyard was getting filled up? You couldn't even put people in the ground.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible question to ask.
That.
And it doesn't
how
serve the purpose that it's
off?
Supposed to serve.
Yes.
No, most people are not. Most people
today
are better off.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, and you're right. The ones that left this world, this evil world, those are better off.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope not. I mean, I'm positive about today. I'm positive. I mean, I love my life. I'm positive about my life, but yeah, I mean, I'm better off than I was 4 years ago, but that's not going to make me vote for Kamala Harris. So I think that's really, it's such a cliche, and I think it's a ridiculous question. Let's go to Nick Uptown. Nick, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show. Okay, let's go to Irvin. Irvin, welcome to WWL. Happy Halloween.
Hey, happy Halloween. It's unseasonable, but it's Halloween. I want to address real quick my fellow Republicans. We've gone over this before. Concerning inflation, it was due to COVID. It was worldwide. Productions were being shut down. Supply chains were being broken. And once the COVID was over with, it took a while for everything to ramp back up. And so inflation was not just an American thing. It was around the world. And in fact, if we get to our goal of 2.3%, we're beating most of the civilized world. Secondly, the border. One more time. A president can do Band-Aids on the border. But the legislative branch that makes laws will have to come together, make laws concerning the border, and then the president, who is the executive, can carry out those laws. Now, I want to go on to what I called for. It's never happened before, but we need it more now than ever. I wish both parties and representatives of both candidates would reach out to each other and get both candidates to agree to go on a simulcast. They don't have to be in the same place, same room, split screen. And both of them make a statement that they will respect the vote of the American people no matter which way the election goes. And they can hold, you know, until the the legislature confirms the vote, which is in January. But this would take a lot of ease and pain off of all the divisiveness in this country. If both candidates would just get on air and both pledge to respect the election results.
You know, I love that idea. I love the idea, Irvin. We know it's not going to happen. But the fact that you mentioned it, the fact that it's not going to happen, says a lot about the candidates. They should do that. Now, that doesn't mean if it's, I mean, it could be discovered that there was widespread voter fraud to the point where it changed the outcome of the election. That would come later. But initially, once a winner is declared, both candidates and both camps and both sides should accept the outcome of the election. I mean, I already got a video on my Facebook page from somebody, it's something about stolen ballots or something. I mean, are you starting with that already? And there's voter irregularities in every election, but never to the point of overturning the outcome of the election. And I don't even know when this video came from. This could have been from years ago. So many people are suckers, and they just post anything that comes along that might not even be relevant. It might be from years ago. And I almost pity the people who are so quick to confirm their bias by accepting and promoting things that aren't even relevant. They're from the past. All right, let's go to James on the North Shore. Hey, James.
Hey, Scoot. Happy Halloween, man. Thanks for having me on. My favorite day. So last night on PBS, they had a, it's called Secrets of the Dead. It's one of the shows they play each week. Last night it was about vampires, but not real vampires, but people seen as vampires. Kind of like what you're talking about with this fear around Halloween and people thinking people are evil. They found these, it was a field with a bunch of graves in the field. And in these fields, they call these deviant burials because they found that the people buried in this field either had stones put on all over their body so they couldn't raise from the dead. One had a blade, a sword across its neck. So if it was to raise up, it would chop its neck off. And this is real. I mean, this is what they found from hundreds of years ago. And this is on, if anyone wants to look it up, Secret of the Dead, and it's about the vampire that came on last night. It was so interesting that they found it. There were 70-something different burials. There were 70 lives that people thought these people were so evil that they killed them, buried them, threw stones all on them, or put blades across their necks to keep them in the grave. So that's what scares me about Kamala Harris is that she don't get elected. And we got to deal with stuff like that, you know. And then last night I had an opportunity to call into On the Media. They did a special last night, and they were asking, how is the media handling this election? And I called in, and I talked to him about what I've talked to you about, you know, young, middle-aged men being the FU vote that's out there that's trying to GameStop the election right now. And the one guy, I forget his name, everyone heard this dude. If you heard his voice, you know who he is. But he asked me, well, what could we do? What can we do to do stuff for the middle-aged men? And I'm like, God, just even for me, example, I'd like to see more the stuff of the music we like. Or like UFC, Dana White has found that UFC goes so much with the middle-aged men out there, and Trump, too. That's why Trump has all these supporters that are middle-aged men. I mean, you got the UFC, you got the fighters, Trump, you know what I'm saying? And then you got the mainstream media who just totally does nothing for our age men. Like, I thought, like, no, I would like to see, like, more stuff of, like, metal music. Because, I mean, right now, metal is blowing up all over the world. I mean, there's bands local here who are going to Europe. I mean, every other month or so, Crowbar or Downs going over to Europe, going all across the United States, playing big old festivals. There's so much money pouring into it. And I think more if the mainstream media pays some attention to these guys and kind of got them more to where they're not just so hateful towards the mainstream media and they're so after the mainstream media. If they've seen stuff that looked more like them in the media being advertised towards them, we could get rid of some of that hate out there.
You know, I'd like to think that could happen. You know, again, I go back to the basic premise that the media reflects the society it perceives to be watching, or the society that they want to be watching. So they cater to their perceived audience. And I know you, James, because you've shown up at a couple of places where we've been broadcasting. And I would describe you in a very positive way as a very eccentric person. You're very eccentric. You're a little different. And so for somebody like you, I can see where you might feel alienated by a lot of things that you see in the mainstream media, because, and take this as a compliment, not everybody's like you. All right, if you've got a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. I'm still to come. We've got to get to this idea that Halloween candy was poisoned, that there were razor blades and needles and apples and candy, and kids died on Halloween because of what they got for trick-or-treating. What about all of this? Well, we'll tell you about that coming up. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on this Halloween afternoon on WWL. Happy Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Halloween 2024. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Virginia. Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hey, Scoot. Can you hear me?
How are you? Yes, I can.
How are you doing?
Good.
So, addressing your question of what scares me,
Yeah, we're talking about, since it's Halloween, what scares you most about Kamala Harris or Donald Trump?
Nothing. They're human, and they're making us react like they want us to react. They're manipulating our thoughts and minds, mm-hmm. and with what their actions are doing. So one is to the extreme, and the other one is political. And whichever one wins, we're stuck with what they win when they win for the next 4 years based on our voting. But what really scares me is Joe.
Oh, the caller we had earlier, Joe.
Joe scares me.
You know, there's some callers that scare me too. I get that.
He's almost a Janus.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I mean, they're very passionate. The problem is that they're so myopic in their thinking, they can't consider anything out of bounds. I bet neither one of them ever colored outside of the lines. And, you know, there are no matter how much you like somebody, there are negative things. And so often Americans now get so locked onto something that they can't ever bring themselves to be honest about the negative aspects of that. And when you don't understand the negative aspects of somebody who is mere human, then I think you lose a lot of credibility.
Either side, Trump or Harris, they're pushing what we react to, what we, the voters, react to. And, the question that, are we better off today? Well, that's subjective.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
Yeah, because, and then you have to decide, well, am I better off or worse off? And is it the fault of the administration, or is it my fault? Am I better off because
like
of me?
Said,
am I worse off because
like
of me?
Just like you said before, in other days when you come on the air, you're responsible for you and only you. And
no,
what
right.
makes you happy makes you happy. What makes you sad makes you sad. We are individuals, and yeah. we are responsible for our own emotions. So when you let someone else come in and trigger those emotions, you're giving mm-hmm. them the fuel.
Boy, that's so true. You know, emotion is such a big part of this election cycle. And Michael, as I've said many times on the show, as a nation, we can hear all the threats we want to hear, because that's part of campaigning. But we as Americans should not accept the emotional burden of that, because we're going to be okay. We are going to survive this. And if somebody, for example, doesn't want to leave office when his term's up, he will be taken out. I mean, he will be literally taken out of office. So nobody's going to stay there forever. There may be attempts, but, you know, we've got enough sensible people in this country. I know it's hard to believe, but we're going to survive this, and we're going to be okay. So I don't think anybody should buy into the fear factor that, if so-and-so wins, democracy's over, because I refuse to believe that. Michael, I appreciate the call and what you said. Also appreciate your listening in Virginia. If you're on hold, stay with us. We will get to more of your calls coming up. I want to remind you that coming up next Wednesday, Election Day is Tuesday, the day after Election Day, I'm going to be live. Our show's going to be live on location in Gretna. We're going to be at the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank, the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank in Gretna at 2000 Bell Chase Highway in Gretna, Wednesday afternoon from 1 to 4. It's going to be the day after the election. So we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll also be talking about this great new location of Bonvenue Bank. So join us for that. Join us on the air or join us in person. That's going to be next Wednesday. All right, so we've got Thursday Night Football tonight. You'll hear that on WWL. 6-2 Houston Texans take on the 2-6 New York Jets. You know, Aaron Rodgers has turned into, in my opinion, such an a-hole. I'm glad to see him losing. I mean, I really am. There's just something about him that just, you know, he just became arrogant, kind of an a-hole. So you know what, Aaron? I'm kind of glad you're losing right now. So I'm pulling for the Texans. Plus, I love the success story of the Texans. With a young quarterback and a young coach, I love what they're doing, and it shows that it can be done. But also, Tulane plays Charlotte tonight. Tulane is 6-2. Charlotte is 3-5, and that, I think, is a 6:30 kickoff, and you will hear that, you'll see that on ESPN. All right, here is another version of one of my favorite songs this time of year, Season of the Witch. This is the Joan Jett version. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Well, here's something kind of scary. If you remember Vanilla Ice, baby. If you remember Vanilla Ice when you were really young, on the SOTA Rock Culture calendar today, Vanilla Ice is 57 years old. Wow. Does it seem like it's that long ago? No. But that's kind of a milestone in life for some of you who grew up with Vanilla Ice. He's 57 years old today. All right, we're going to continue to talk about the scariest thing about Kamala Harris. What is the scariest thing to you about Donald Trump? And also, when are you too old to trick or treat? You know, there's that point when, you know, somebody comes trick or treating and they might be a little older and they might seem kind of suspicious. And also, we will set the record straight on that whole fear of just that frenzy about Halloween candy being tainted with poison. Did you believe that? I believed it for a while, but we got the truth about that coming up in the next hour. I'm Scoot on the air. Happy Halloween, and we'll be back on WWL.